jury room. Necessity was something we talked about briefly in jury selection. It's found on page 9. You'll have this with you. The judge just read it to you. And so what it's saying is, if you reasonably believe the actions were immediately necessary to avoid imminent harm. What actions are we talking about? So the defendant wants you to believe that by placing John Hernandez in a chokehold and impeding the normal breath and circulation of the blood to the brain, that that was more important than the assault, the punch to the eye. So let's talk about the harm, which is John Hernandez's death. Necessity is normally used if your child was hurt, if your child had fallen, and let's say you'd been drinking at home and you chose to commit the crime of driving while intoxicated to take your child to the hospital. Certainly we'd all agree if your child was seriously injured that you should drive while intoxicated to get to the hospital. That's necessity. We're talking about a man's death. We're talking about to avoid a punch to the eye that Terry Brian Thompson chose to kill John Hernandez. Those harms are the same. Are they the same? I mean, dying is not the same as being punched in the face. That's not necessity. That's not what we're here to talk about. I'd like to point out to you that this is John Hernandez and Maria Terwall and Alexa. And we heard testimony from James Leon Keith that Terry Brian Thompson was mad. He was yelling at John Hernandez, "Don't pee in the parking lot. Don't pee in front of my girls." And James Leon Keith said that was so offensive. The behavior of peeing in the parking lot in front of 16, 17-year-old girls was so offensive. Let's talk about Terry Brian Thompson's conduct. Because we watched the video as Maria Terwall paced with her 3-year-old child and had to make the decision if she should stay and defend her husband with a group, a mob surrounding him and allowing him to continue his behavior, or if she should take her crying 3-year-old child to the car to not watch her father be killed. And then she was blamed for it on the witness stand when she was forced to explain why she left. She left because she thought law enforcement had arrived and she took her daughter away so she wouldn't see her father be choked to death. Those were the choices that Maria Terwall had to make that night when you evaluate her testimony and why she did that. So do we really think it's reasonable for Terry Brian Thompson to be so angry that he's screaming at John Hernandez in the parking lot for urinating, that he kills him in front of his wife and child? That's the behavior that we're talking about. Now there's another thing in this charge, failure to retreat. We don't even consider self-defense if you believe the defendant provoked the person whom deadly force was used. That's on page 11. It tells you right here, we don't even get to self-defense if you believe one of these three things. And I stood right here in opening statement and I talked to you about the behavior of both John Hernandez and Terry Brian Thompson before they came together right there in that parking lot. And so now, I want us to watch this video. That's John Hernandez walking head down. This is Terry Brian Thompson getting out of his car. You can see by his body language, he is yelling. You can see by his body language, he is gesturing at John Hernandez. He's yelling at him, and James Leon Keith tells us he's yelling, "Don't pee in the parking lot. Don't pee in front of my teenage girls that are inside the lobby." Is he really defending their honor? I mean, John Hernandez, if you believe that, has already peed behind the truck. What more is Terry Thompson really going to do? The girls are inside. The girls don't look offended. The girls aren't crying. They're not covering their eyes. They walk in the Denny's barefoot and laughing. This hasn't traumatized them. They are 16, 17-year-old girls. Terry Brian Thompson is pissed. He's yelling at him. You can't do that in the parking lot. You can't do that here. John Hernandez is drunk. I mean, he's peed, allegedly. He's walking inside, minding his own business, when he comes face to face with Terry Brian Thompson, who's screaming at him in the doorway to get back inside to his wife and child that are inside at the table. Now, they would also have you believe that John Hernandez either pushed or punched Terry Brian Thompson first. That's their story. That's their whole story to get self-defense. That John Hernandez must have punched him in the eye, and that led us to this 10-minute incident. So self-defense, this is the law. We talked about it. It has to be to the degree the person has to reasonably believe and immediately necessary, and this is just regular force, to protect against unlawful force. So right now we believe the two men have come together in the parking lot, Terry Brian Thompson's yelling at him for peeing, and allegedly John Hernandez has either pushed or punched him, according to James Leon Keith. And so now let's watch what happens when they come together. That's it. That's the fight. That's reasonable force. That's self-defense. If you believe him, that John Hernandez either pushed or punched him one time, it took him 10 seconds to take John Hernandez to the ground and stay on top of him for the next 10 minutes. 10 seconds. 10 seconds to total domination, to lying on him with all of your body weight and choking a man to death. Because this is Terry Brian Thompson's injury. A black eye. That they say was caused by one punch to the face. That's it. So that's self-defense with just regular force. If you're going to go all the way to kill a person, and we all agreed in jury selection 2 weeks ago that if you're going to take another human being's life, we want limits placed on that. And this is it. This is deadly force. So in response to being punched, he had to reasonably believe that deadly force was immediately necessary. You've watched the video over and over again. You've heard the testimony of the witnesses. No one ever said, once Terry Brian Thompson was on top, John Hernandez never punched him. John Hernandez never kicked him. John Hernandez never got back up. John Hernandez never got on top. So when did it become immediately necessary? How was it reasonable to kill a man? Because we know that for the next 3 minutes and 36 seconds, we're going to watch John Hernandez taps out. Right there. He gave up. Full submission to whatever fight Terry Brian Thompson believed was going on. John Hernandez was done. There is no fight. And you can now watch the last 3 minutes and 36 seconds of John Hernandez's life. Terry Brian Thompson never asks the biker, never asks his wife, never asks his kids for help. Never tells his daughter to go inside and get away from this extremely dangerous man that he's scared to death of. Never asked anyone to call police. Doesn't ask James Leon Keith, who quite honestly told us he would have done anything to help him that night. Never asked him, help me hold this guy. He asked James Leon Keith, make sure to keep the paparazzi away so I'm not recorded committing this crime. As you watch this final 3 minutes and 36 seconds after Ryan Steiger recorded his cell phone, Mercedes Romero has called 911, Selvin Young has called 911, and Ryan himself will get off this video right there, and he will call 911. All of the reasonable people are being held back in the denies, and they told us the things they were saying. They said, get off. They said, stop. They said, he can't breathe. They said, you're choking him. That's what the reasonable people of Harris County were saying that night. There's James Leon Keith holding everybody back, keeping everybody away, while Terry Brian Thompson murders John Hernandez. We brought you the Denny's witnesses. They came and told you what they saw and what they did. But quite honestly, this is one of the few crimes you can watch it happen right in front of you. Started as reasonable, past the point of any justification, of self-defense, of necessity, or of apparent danger. When Terry Brian Thompson made the decision to continue to apply a chokehold and lay on a man that had given up. These are the last 16 seconds. When it became a murder. That's it. That's the end of John Hernandez's life. He had no pulse, no breath when Terry Brian Thompson rolls off. And the defendant's wife starts to perform CPR, and we know from both EMTs and the medical examiner, he's medically dead as he lays on the cement. Some medical assistance and being on a ventilator and life support, he'll live for additional days. John Hernandez never comes back. And the minute he tapped out, he had given up. And the minute he tapped out, Terry Brian Thompson committed a murder. Because what you have to ask yourself, was it excessive? This is how John Hernandez looked at the end, on the early morning hours of May 28th. That's at the hospital. We've seen defense's photographs. We've seen defense's photographs from days later of Terry Brian Thompson's black eye. We never heard any evidence that it was serious bodily injury. We certainly asked a lot of people. There were never any medical records that he had a torn retina or a concussion or anything other than a black eye. And so really what you have to decide, it doesn't matter what I say, it doesn't matter what the defense attorney says, it doesn't matter what John says, and it really doesn't matter what the judge says, because this is your case. This is the community's case. And so are we going to say that if someone gives you a black eye, you can kill them? Is that where we are? Is that who we are? Because it wasn't lost on me when I went to the crime scene photos that it's Denny's America's Diner. And we had a large population, a cross-section of who Harris County is. All ethnicities, all races, genders. Everybody was out there that night. And if you look at yourselves on this jury, you our representation of Harris County today. We heard a lot of talk about self-defense, and in Fort Dyer, people were like, I would do this, and it's Texas. And while this certainly is the Lone Star State, it is not the Wild West. And we have agreed to a rule of law that we will all be judged by. That's really the question. Is, are you going to say that you can kill a man if he punches you in the face? We're going to take a human life for that behavior, for peeing in a parking lot. A Class C offense by fine only deserved a death sentence that night. No matter who you are married to, the law applies to each of us. And thankfully, in Harris County, Texas, the law protects all of us the same. Because that defendant was motivated by anger and not fear. You cannot watch that video and believe that he had to kill John Hernandez that night. There is just not evidence of that. Because he was motivated by anger, that's what makes him guilty of murder.
Judge said, call me next witness. Sierra Thompson.
No.
Well, why not? It's their burden.
They said at 23:30:20, John Hernandez passed out, and they played a video that they put a clock up there.
Actually, look back in the record. Did anybody say that?
No.
We asked.
Was he still resisting? Yes. We asked witnesses. When did he submit? He never submitted until he passed out and Miss Thompson said, get off of him. And Terry Thompson got off of him. Not at that time. We have that in our timeline. We'll go back and look at that. You remember it took me forever to go through each individual time with the witnesses and what's happening. And we wrote it down. We'll go back and look at the timeline. But it ain't at that time.
Here's what it is. Terry Thompson says, hey man, you can't pee in the middle of the parking lot. Take it inside. Anything wrong with that? I don't think so.
Seems reasonable to me. And what does Mr. Hernandez, what is his response?
Remember I stuck this sticker over here? A while back? Estimation of about 40, 44 foot. And that's the front of the dunes. Mr. Hernandez's response?
Wow!
Maria Toral. Right?
That's the response.
Now, put yourself in that position. That just happened. What are you going to do?
Whoa, great, sorry, man.
And now he's fighting you. Put yourself in that position. The state's not.
They repeatedly said that the defense wants the jury to believe.
And they went through some things. It doesn't work that way. But we'll get into why later.
But here's why it doesn't work that way.
Right there. It's in the judge's instruction. If the evidence is raised, the judge puts it in the instruction, and then the state has to disprove it beyond a reasonable doubt.
Traditionally, the burden is on the state. We talked about that in more depth.
But we're going to talk about why I had to bring all that evidence.
Now, and this goes to Vordaer. It's this specific screen
here in Vordaer. We're going through the jury picking.
Who's responsible for bringing out the jury all the information? Well, the answer was the state, the prosecutor,
Harris County District Attorney's Office, Mr. Jordan and Ms. Seeley. That's their burden. And the burden never shifts. And everybody said, that's
the way it's supposed to be.
Is that what you heard during the state's opening so far?
It's not what I heard.
Okay.
Here's another screen that we talked about in Board Hour.
How important is it that you get all the information available? Everybody raised their hand.
It's very important. Or you hear, or you see this little snippet. You see a 53-second snippet of a video.
They told you in their opening, we will bring you each of the people you see on the surveillance video. Did they do that? Because it's funny, they opened with Sierra Thompson and what she said. That's just one. They didn't do that. They didn't even bring you the surveillance video. Because if you look, right there, on states number 21, on their exhibit, they told you, oh, this is the raw footage of the surveillance video.
Remember when they did that?
Oh, here's everything. Look at State's Exhibit 21, at those numbers, specifically, they're not there. They're cut out. They're chopped out. You know what? You know what's at that time? Mr. Hernandez threatening Mr. Blake Wise. They didn't want you to see that. Why? Tell me why they would do that.
So, I had to bring it to you.
That's the part where John Hernandez gets into the first confrontation that we know of that night with Blake Wise. That's at Defense Exhibit 11. They also want you to hide the second confrontation where he pushes his wife and elbows her in the mouth, then shakes his arm and continues taunting Blake Wise.
Just a minute. You're probably
take a look at the video. That's what I see. Just like Miss Seeley got up here and told you what she sees on the video, that's what I see in the part they didn't want you to see.
And by that time, Mr. Wise had called 911 to report a severely intoxicated Hernandez driving with his daughter and threatening him with a gun. They talk about an attack. Did you see that attack on Mr. Wise? For coming in here and just saying, hey, I just called 911. I don't want to be here. Probably won't call 911 next time, that's for sure. Not me. You can drive around drunk with a baby in the car. Not me.
State sat there and attacked him. He don't have a dog in this hunt. He wasn't even there. He left.
He didn't give Mr. Hernandez a chance to walk over and punch him in the eye. Because he had a whole parking lot between him and Mr. Wall keeping him from walking across that parking lot and doing the same thing. He was lucky. Only being here against State versus Mr. Wise.
When the state rested last Friday, they told you they are done. They've met their burden.
They've shown you the whole case. They're done.
And since then, what have we had to do? It's been all week bringing in witnesses and introducing evidence so you can actually see the rest of the story and what's going on. Why would the state not bring the jury all the information available? There's only one answer to that.
Because they knew a jury wouldn't find that they proved their case beyond a reasonable doubt.
Sorry about the misspelling. I'm so sorry about that. You know, I apologize ahead. Ago, I was in trial, and a young prosecutor,
they're all younger than me, it seems like, but she used what she said was an old saying in the lawyer world,
and I hadn't heard it. And so when she said it, I thought, who knows? And she tells a story that an old lawyer taught her. If you've got the facts and the evidence, pound the facts and the evidence. If you don't have that, pound the table. Do something else. Don't focus on that. Point to everything else. Avoid calling witnesses. Try to hide the entire story in the hopes that the defense fails to bring the rest of the story. That's the best tactic.
Says it. But I am.
Objection, improper argument.
It's a pity. Well, the state has insinuated several times, many times, that Mr. Wall was mistreated. And in their questioning, they even said the brown people.
Objection.
The brown people were
improper
covered.
Argument. Alright, ladies and gentlemen, the jury will remember what was in evidence and not what the lawyers say is not evidence.
Remember the question that they asked Mr. Wise?
Remember that question? That the judge then instructed, whoa, don't listen to that. That's their insinuation. They repeatedly referred to the Hispanic man and the white man.
Well, we all knew their names and the witnesses knew their names. All the way through it.
Here's what the case is really about, right here. The fact is that Mr. Hernandez decided to get drunk, stay out late, irritate his wife, drive drunk with the child in the car, act belligerent, try to fight with strangers, threaten them with a gun, manhandle his wife, ultimately striking her in the mouth. You get to look at it, and we'll look at it closer. Out at America's Diner on May 28th of 2017. The state's story? Just a quiet family out going to have dinner. And it's a great story. It's just not this story. And Mr. Hernandez, he's angry for some reason. We know why, because Mr. Hall says when he drinks, he gets angry. He's a mean drunk. He's a loudmouth. He's an ass. Those are her words, not mine. And she finally gets him inside, and he's still stewing, and he goes outside. And I've asked everybody, why? Why did he go out? I know why. He was going to go out and give Mr. Wise another piece of his mind. Because he don't like to be told what to do when he's acting wrong. And there's no question he was acting wrong. You don't drive drunk
with a 3-year-old in the car. Again, what's wrong with calling him out? I promise you, if Mr. Hernandez, if the police had come out when Mr. Wise had called, and they arrested Mr. Hernandez for driving drunk with that baby in the car, do you think they'd be standing here and saying, whoa, 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 whoa? They'd be saying, send him to prison. That's what they'd be saying. Oh, and he was peeing out there, exposing himself? There's another charge. And if had he got the better of Mr. Thompson, there's an aggravated assault for you as well. That's what they'd be saying. They're not saying that right now. So he goes outside. And he doesn't find Mr. Wise. So he just decides, you know what?
I think I'll take a leak out here in the middle of the parking lot.
And unfortunately, then another stranger, just arriving in Denny's with a teenage daughter and friend, suggested that his illegal behavior in front of all these teenage girls was, hey, guy, you can't do that. The state says, oh, come on.
That's okay. We like that in Harris County. We like this kind of behavior. Don't call it out. Don't suggest that's wrong. Just move along.
Move along. Go have your pancakes or whatever. Don't say anything. It's okay.
So what did he do? He called him out and the guy attacked him. And the fight was on. And he tried to restrain him until the cops came. We know that. He says it on the tape. And all the witnesses say that. He didn't say, I'm going to kill you.
He didn't say that. He says, stop. I'll let you up when the cops get here. Call the cops. Everybody's calling the cops. He's figuring the cops come. Who kills somebody saying, call the cops while I murder this guy?
And the funny thing is, not the little snippet that they showed.
Well, actually, we're going to show that also. They're suggesting Mr. Hernandez is just passively laying there and Mr. Thompson has full control over him.
We're going to get to that.
But I can tell you, Mr. Hernandez is still, he's having none of it. He's fighting. All right. Let's look at what the state brought you, okay? Realistically and objectively. This is what they called. They brought you. 6 witnesses from the Denny's were called by the state. Mercedes Romero, Israel Jaquez, Brian Reifel, Brian Sider, Christina Hector, and Selvin Young. And then of the law enforcement and investigators that looked into this case, they brought you Sean Daniels. He was first on the scene. T. Kirkley, he took some pictures. And the medical examiner. That's it. That's their case. Now, this is the whole story. I identified it. These are all the witnesses that the investigation identified as pertinent, relevant witnesses. There were 16 of them, and 23 law enforcement officers and investigators on the case. And we listed each and every one of them. I know it was tedious, but we had to get through it. Of those, 39 eyewitnesses and law enforcement investigators involved, 8 were called by the state. Handpicked and selected just to bring you a little bit of the story. 21% of all the available witnesses, that's who they brought you.
We had to call at least 12 more that we thought to bring the rest of the story.
And who were the 12 additional witnesses? Well, they were pretty significant. Maria Terrell, the wife. Blake Wise, who was just confronted and threatened minutes before this happened. James Keith, actually the only one that really was out there for the whole time, even though the state really don't like him.
Officer Vittles, Sean Daniels, the state called, F. Rodriguez, Owens, Klozik, Rowe, Miller, Jenkins. Miller is the lead investigator, by the way, on this case.
I don't expect you to look real close at this, because I've been keeping my notes.
Every time the witness identified a time, I put it on here as to what they identified.
And I know it was tedious, but this is what came out of it. Okay? Now, the good news is, we're going to look at
taking what I think are the relevant portions and made it a little bit easier.
There are the benchmarks and time. And the benchmarks of time, in my opinion, is at 23:14, which is 11:14, almost 11:15, almost a quarter after 11, Blake Wise leaves through the front door with his friends, and you can see him out there standing out there in front of his truck. And then two and a half minutes later, Mr. Hernandez is seen resisting Mr. Rawls' attempts to be restrained at the front door. And that's where Blake Wise says he was safe. And then, about 7 seconds later, he keeps trying to go back out to Blake Wise. She has to restrain him. And then at 23:17:51, Mr. Hernandez, trying to break free of her, and manhandling her, goes, "Wah!" And she goes, and walks in. Now, you look at it. She said, "I must have been yawning." She's still protecting him. Just like she said she was protecting him at the grand jury. She wasn't going to say he was driving that car. Just like she was protecting him that night. And she wasn't going to say he was driving that truck. Why? She's worried he'd get in trouble for some reason.
She's still protecting him. Even though she told you he's a mean drunk, I was disappointed, I was irritated that he came home that way.
Then, Blake Wise calls within a minute and a half, and then at 23:22:59 is when this all happens. Now, the state's suggesting that Mr. Hernandez didn't hit Mr. Thompson. I repeatedly asked all the witnesses, "Did you ever see all the other witnesses?" You know, James Keith said he saw it. And Mr. Rawl was standing right there. You can see on the video, I even asked her, "As close as me and you were talking to Mr. Thompson, right? And you saw the push." "Well, I think I might have seen the push." "Did you see a punch?"
Just like the yawn.
State still says, I asked her, I asked every other witness that walked out after that, "Did Mr. Hernandez ever punch Terry Thompson after that point?" They all said no. Every single one of them. And then the state takes the pictures of it and says, "Oh, that never happened. Seriously?"
Hang on hard, because about halfway through the fight, I wasn't winning. I was just trying to hold him down.
That's actually a improper argument. You can't say what the defense said.
All right, ladies and gentlemen, remember what the lawyers say is not evidence. Proceed.
That's what he's thinking. And that's what you got to decide. If that's what he's thinking, if that's unreasonable, that's what you have to do. That's what the law says you have to do.
And more importantly, it stops right there. Remember, almost 2.5 minutes later, we have a picture, and we'll see it again. It's evidence. Mr. Thompson's arms are under Mr. Hernandez's arms, under his armpits. Clearly, he does not have his arm around his neck. He's trying to hang on to him. He's trying to control him. That's 2.5 minutes into the fight. And then right here, about 3 minutes later, what's called the turnaround begins. And we'll look at that. When they go from facing left, and about 2.5 minutes later, they end up facing right. Completely turned around. Now the state says, Mr. Thompson's in complete control the whole time. Really?
You look at that part of the video.
You see if what they're spoon feeding you, what it tastes like. Even y'all look at it. But I see John Hernandez at one point facing up with knees bent, and Mr. Thompson underneath facing left. And then at 23:29, Mr. Hernandez and Thompson are now facing right. Okay? And then at 17 and 47, because Romero says she leaves when Selvin Young gets there, and we look on the video, that's about 17. And 47 is when the Steiger video begins. So sometimes in that 30 seconds, he gets in the position that we see on the 53-second video. The state's feeding you that they were in that position all along. It's not true. Their evidence, my evidence, shows it. The surveillance tape. EMS stages six minutes later, and at 23:36:40, established. That's when they said, hey, get off. He's not breathing. He's not moving. He gets off. They start doing CPR. That's what's established by the witnesses in this case. All of that. Right there. And I promise you, if it wasn't, the state would be on their feet right now objecting to what I'm telling you. They're not shy about that. Total lapse time, 13 minutes and 41 seconds. We've got to start when Hernandez punches Thompson and when Thompson rolls off. Did Terry Thompson try to restrain Hernandez by placing his arm around his neck with his body weight on top of John Hernandez? The answer is yes. There has never been any dispute about that. But it's this other part, that's the important part. These are the answers, the questions you have to ask yourself in self-defense. When did he do it? How long did he do it? Why did he do it? What was his intent? Was he defending himself? And does he have a duty to retreat? Those are all the things you're going to have to work on. Well, let's talk about when did he do it. Well, it couldn't have been until those times we established with Mr. Romero in the state video at 7 minutes and 18, between 18 and 48 seconds into the fight. Well over halfway. We know that from the timeline and evidence. For how long did he do it? Well, that's a big question. Absolutely. We even asked, was he doing it consistently the whole time? The ME says, well, if you do it consistently over the whole time, the blood choke happens 5 seconds to 20 seconds. It's fast. Well, why did it not happen? Because Mr. Hernandez's still fighting. If Terry Thompson had control over, this fight would be over in about 20 seconds. Because that's how long the ME said, if you put him in that hole and cut off that blood, done. The fight is over.
If he intended to do that, that's what he would have done.
But the problem is we have the turnaround. And we have Hernandez continuing to resist and fight.
We'll see it in the Stager video. I'll show you.
Why did he do it? Well, he did it in response to Mr. Hernandez's unlawful use of deadly force. I know it's lawyer talk.
That's what's in the law. That's what we have to have. But that's what it is. I asked all the witnesses, hey, we'll get to this.
I don't want to get bothered.
Can I turn the swear up there once?
You have 29 minutes
remaining.
Okay, what? I got to move. All right. Why did he do it? We know that. What was his intent? You get to decide that. But he continually says, stop moving. I'm holding you until the police come.
The state is suggesting to you his intent was something other than that. They're suggesting to his intent was to murder him.
Was he defending himself? Well, you have to ask yourself that. I think the evidence is clear. The answer is yes.
Does he have a duty to retreat?
Well, actually, under the law,
no.
So long as he doesn't provoke it,
and you'll see that there's three factors.
As long as he doesn't provoke it, and he has a right to begin using deadly force, he doesn't have a legal duty to stop and run away.
And we'll get to why he doesn't do that. Defense exhibits. There's some still photos in there taken from the Stager video that shows Hernandez's hips are perpendicular to the ground.
Take a look at them. I asked Amy because it was important. I said, if somebody had their hips perpendicular up on the side, on the ground, could they be being compressed the way you say this happened? Ultimately, and she said, no.
Okay. The turnaround. Let's watch this. Apparently it's not going to play. Let's watch it. This is 7 minutes in. Fighting him, resisting, everyone was yelling, added to the chaos. He
He finally got a little control about 7 minutes later, and he chose to hang on.
He made that decision.
Now, if you decide that's unreasonable, then it's not self-defense. But he didn't have time to think about it, and all he did was act to defend himself. He repeatedly said, "Stop resisting, quit. I'm not letting them up until the cops come. Stop."
And this would be reminding me of this. In the TV show, the cop says, "Stop or I'll shoot." And you know what the guy does? Whoa. I'm done. Not Mr. Hernandez.
His response, 5 or 6 more minutes, continue fighting, resisting, trying to get away, pulling away against the restraint. He actually fought until he just couldn't physically do it anymore.
Because that's what it was going to take.
He just simply wasn't going to stop until he did that. Until he got to that point. And when that happened, within seconds, Terry Thompson stopped, rolled off, and his wife began to perform CPR trying to save his life. And these are all the things that could have happened when Terry Thompson just simply stopped.
I don't know, does he go get in his truck, get his gun?
Continue to fight, assault him, assault somebody else, take a fight with somebody else that's looking at him the wrong way, which is apparently what's happened twice before in the last 10 minutes.
I don't know, maybe he just goes back in and gets his truck and loads up his baby back in the car and drives home drunk. All mad. Maybe he kills somebody on the way home there too. I don't know. I guarantee if he was being in here on a DWI with a kid, that's exactly what the state would be saying. There's danger, because that's what he's doing.
Apparently now, it's okay.
It's the state's burden. It never shifts. You judge the credibility of the witnesses, the weight to be given evidence.
Each of you swore an oath to follow the law in this court and the court's instructions, including the self-defense and the necessity.
How do innocent people go to jail?
Well, one way, the state only tells part of the story. And in each one of those cases that somebody's been freed later, a prosecutor got up there and told the jury, "We've proven it beyond a reasonable doubt." They spoon-fed that jury something good enough to get a guilty verdict, but it could have been. I'm going to go through this quickly. We talked about this. Can this be a daily weapon?
Yes, of course it can. We ask it repeatedly. The state doesn't want it to be for some reason.
Again, if Mr. Hernandez had struck him and he stopped and he's on trial right now, I bet you it's a different story. Oh, yeah. Of course it is.
Well, I ask everybody. It's the capability. Not whether it did or not. It's the capability.
And I ask, if it's used in that manner, struck in the face, is it capable of causing serious bodily injury?
Yes. Everybody said yes, yes, yes. That's not an issue. That's not a question. I ask all these people.
The EMT, Sergeant Brooke, Deputy Bentles, Lieutenant Closet, Dr. Gonsolin, the ME, Sergeant Pink, and Sergeant Miller.
All of them, absolutely. And we see it.
I guess the state's contesting that that's even an injury at all.
It doesn't taste like ice cream to me.
Here are the witnesses. I broke it down. The ones in the greens, they're the ones that I brought you. And how long they were out there, according to the timeline. Hernandez punches Thompson. Maria's out there. James Keith's out there. Blake Wise has already left. And then everybody else in yellow, those are the ones the
State Farm. Little bits and pieces, in and out. We went through it all. 2 minutes and 18 seconds right here, that's the turnaround, right in the middle. And then you get the first time Thompson may have his arm around Thompson's neck. I mean, Hernandez's neck. We got the Steger video right in here. And then you've got Thompson rolls off of Hernandez right there. Blake Wise. Look at
Exhibit 13. Just look at it.
Ask yourself what's going on. You know what's going on. James Keith. He's one of the only witnesses who saw the whole thing. Heard Hernandez right in front of his daughter. He heard and saw everything. Now, the state says, well, you never said anything about a gun. You're right, he didn't. See, he didn't want to be here. He didn't want to be part of this. He didn't like the courthouse. And that's okay. But if you believe he came in here and just lie, you may think a lot of things about Mr. Keegan.
I don't know. He don't look like a guy that's going to lie. He looks like he'd fight if you called him a liar. Matter of fact, when that was going on, when he was being called a liar, he'd come up out of that chair. He didn't like it a bit. Ask yourself, is he lying? You think he's gonna risk the judge throwing him in jail for contempt? The state repeatedly asked him about his two statements. He kept saying, man, I gave four statements. No, you didn't. And then all of a sudden, maybe there was three. At least. He's right. When they asked him, well, you never said anything about a gun. I asked him, what was the first time you said anything about that? He said, I told some people last year, but I didn't tell anybody else until I talked to you. The state subpoenaed me. And they brought me down here and swore you in, and you said you were going to call me, and I needed to call you. And he said, I did. And that's when I told you. Remember I asked him that. We had that conversation. And I said, and you told me something. He said, yes, sir, I did. I told you that. I never told anybody this. I need to tell you. Because you're going to call me as a witness on the stand. I'm not going to lie. And I heard him say that. He said, I can't remember lies. I've had four strokes. He can only remember the truth. I thought that was pretty interesting. All right. Mr. Jacquez, Mr. Reifkohl, we went through that. You remember what they said. One said, put him in a submission hold. Did you think he's going to kill him? No. You think he's trying to... Did he have an intent to cause serious bodily injury? No. All that. And there'll be something that you can look at to see why they thought that. Mercedes Romero, she saw some of it, but not a lot of it, because she's kind of inside on the 911. Mr. Steiger, he brought you the 53 seconds. He was inside a lot. He was all over. But you know what? Even though we showed him standing right there, he doesn't see the turnaround on the defense exhibit 13. He didn't even see it. A 2.5 minute struggle where they go from one direction to the other. You don't even see it. Ms. Trawl. I think she wants to be truthful. Except for some very key things that she thinks deserves to be protected. Did you see him punch him? Did he hit you in the mouth with the back end? She just won't say it. And apparently it won't play on the system, so we can't look at it. But you get to look at it. It's in evidence. I believe it's Defense Exhibit 14 or 15. It's a small clip. It's right after defense, right around Defense 13. Take a look at it. Y'all look at it. You take a look at it and see what it looks like to you. He actually heard some of what Terry Thompson said during this. And we've gone over that. So stop. Stop resisting. I'm not letting you up till you get up. He hit me in the eye.
All those things. Dr. Gonsolin,
interesting. Found muscular trauma, but the bones, no breakage.
It doesn't take much. Doesn't take much. But none there. No facial trauma or evidence of injury. They kept saying that Mr. Thompson was beating him in the face and hitting his head on the concrete.
No injuries. None. I even asked her, any chance he punched in the face, on concrete, back of the head, hitting concrete? Nope. There's no injuries to the head and the face.
Deputy Biddles talked about Mr. Hernandez was the primary aggressor, was considered the suspect, called Harris County District Attorney's Office, all those things. He should be absolutely insulted and outraged by the way Mr. Jordan attacked him.
It wasn't even his call. His bosses were out there. Common decency would say you let her out of that car. Remember that line of questioning? Mr. Veedle, Deputy Veedle should be...
I'm surprised he didn't come out of the chair. All these officers. Any witness mistreated? Nope. Show favoritism? No. Probably processed? Yeah. Procedures followed? Yeah.
Witness separated? Yeah. Hernandez was suspect? Yeah. Thompson was the complaining victim? Yep.
Because he did it. He had all the evidence. Then he struck him. With a fist. There's no question about that. Was it a struggle? Yeah. Multiple positions? You have the evidence. You look at it.
Witnesses, they were all over the board. With the descriptions of height, weight, including the hospital, including the ME.
Oh, we have pictures. Look at him. Look at Mr. Hernandez.
Does he look like a small, weak, meek guy to you? The guy that plays soccer every Sunday? 24 years old?
Looked pretty stout to me. Y'all look at the video.
It's on there. The witness's description, they're all over the board. And that's okay. Because it's frantic.
The surveillance video to look at. We don't have to necessarily rely on. He was a giant. He weighed 400 pounds. Clearly not.
That's the way they remember it, because it was, and that's okay. But we have the video.
This is another short clip.
Look at defense 11 through 14 in relation to these slides.
The witness's demeanor, Israel, Brian, they're standing back by the cash register while all this is going on.
Getting their food ready to go, high-fiving, laughing and joking. And that's okay. They're young guys getting off work. But the point is, they didn't think a murder was going on. They thought, and they said it, they thought Terry Thompson was trying to hold this guy down until the cops come.
So they admit it's dealt with. That'll be okay.
Watch it. It's a close-up.
It's evidence.
State could have shown you sync with transcriptions of the 911 calls of the people saying it and what they're seeing. Easily. You saw all their other stuff. Transcriptions of the 911 and the clock in the corner and all the kind of fancy stuff. Didn't show you that. Why? Because they didn't show that. When they're saying what they're seeing and what's happening is not at the same time
that you see them on the video. And again, that's okay. They're calling 911. They want somebody out there fast. It's not intended to be that. This is the only time we see Terry Thompson's face. It's described as red, furious, red eyes, angry, full of rage.
It doesn't look that way to me.
It looked like, to me, somebody who's scared and looking for help. That's what it looks like to me. And it's one of the only times we get to see his face. It's in his stagger video.
only times. You get to decide what it looks like to you.
I'm not even going to cover the lesser included offenses because self-defense applies to all of them. Self-defense, translation, regular folk.
He can use deadly force as alleged if confronted with deadly force, punch the eye socket, if he thought he was being attacked, and if he was afraid as he saw it at that time. That's all boiled down to regular talk. Now you're going to get the instruction with the lawyer with the legal definitions. But again,
that's what it means.
Reasonable belief. The top is what you get. The bottom is translation. What you think a regular guy may do when faced with what he was faced with. You put yourself in his shoes. That's how you got to do it, though. That's the hard part.
All relevant facts. You have to consider everything that may have contributed to what he was thinking at the time.
That's the law. Here we go. You got to put
yourself in his standpoint alone. You got to look through his eyes and walk in his shoes
of what's going on. Not what you would have done or what somebody else might have done.
You've got to put yourself in his shoes. And that's in the charge as well.
Necessity, basically, if he thinks he needs to do something immediately to avoid more harm, and avoiding the harm to everyone else is more important than Fernandez being restrained,
that's the law itself of necessity.
And you have the definitions in the charge. And I'm sorry I'm rushing, but I only have an hour, and I thought that would be way too much time. But now I'm thinking it's not enough, because there's a lot to look at. One thing, the state must disprove
both self-defense and necessity beyond a reasonable doubt. It's raised. Once it's raised, the state must disprove it beyond a reasonable doubt.
Just like they have to prove the offenses to begin with beyond a reasonable doubt. Only if they prove to you the offenses beyond a reasonable doubt do you even get to self-defense. If you don't think that the offenses were committed, it's not guilty. If you think they were committed, then you apply self-defense to all of them, or whichever ones you think were committed.
And that's their burden of proof, including the defenses. I just went over.
Presumption of innocence, as he sits there right now, we talked about that. Remember the 1 through 10 or 0 through 10?
How much do you think he's guilty? Everybody agrees, 0.
Ask yourself, remember, how are your shoes feeling? Are they tight? They shouldn't be.
If the state's proven beyond a reasonable doubt, they should be real comfortable. Have that doubt, or they haven't proven to you that self-defense doesn't apply to a reasonable doubt, it's not guilty.
State gets to go last. I'm almost done. I got three more slides. How much time do I have, Jim? A couple
minutes?
Oh, perfect. I can slow down and take a breath. The state gets to go last, so it's always the hard part.
They get the last word. It's their burden. It's only fair. They have to carry the water the most, so they get to go last. So it's always hard for me to sit there, as you can see, over the past 2 weeks.
It's hard for me to sit there. When I hear something I disagree with or I don't think is right, I say something. It's not my best quality. But in my job, it's my best quality. When I see something that's... wish I was as eloquent as he is, but I'm not.
Under the law, this